And after missing a week due to some work and school obligations, as well as some real-life social obligations, we are once again back and recording the Cult of Canada podcast. My guest host tonight is...
Bill.
Bill, we have not heard from you since January. It's been a couple months.
Yeah.
What's going on in your life, man?
Nothing really new. Just on the last boss in Warcraft.
Last boss of which dungeon?
The final one. Ice Crown Citadel, Arthas himself.
10 or 25?
10. 10? 25, we're lagging behind.
No, dude, it's a pretty big accomplishment getting to the end of the boss there. Tonight we're going to be talking about something special, something that we have not covered in the past because this is basically the first year of our existence. We're going to talk about some of the big summer movies of 2010. And when we say summer, we're really actually talking like early April to about July. That's kind of the Hollywood summer because every year it starts earlier and earlier. Usually May is kind of the platform launch date, but this year they're actually going to launch some of the bigger movies in April. The Clash of the Titans remake, for example, is going to be released something like April 2nd. And then August and September are relatively slow months. Actually, believe it or not, for Hollywood, even though they are summer months, they count as like the tail end of summer. Usually, projects get dumped in August and September. Now, in recent years, that's been a bit untrue because last August we had the release of Inglourious Basterds and District 9, and both of those were huge hits. But generally, the trend is for studios to dump a movie in the dregs of August and September, some movie they just have completely no faith in.
Well, it makes sense to me.
Right. People tend to pay attention less. People are just completely worn out after a long summer of special effects blockbuster after special effects blockbuster and so forth and so on.
And if you have something like The Dark Knight again, or if a new Avatar comes out, then they're going to be still in theaters forever and ever, and nothing can break them.
Yeah, and up until The Dark Knight was released, we had seen this trend for about 7 or 8 years of a film being released, and it would just do huge numbers on its first weekend, and then after that it would just completely trail off. You'd see a drop of like 60%, and then the next weekend you'd see a drop of 50%. It'd keep dropping by half every single weekend. That has not really been the case for the past 2 years or so. You still see that, don't get me wrong, but you're not seeing it as much, and I'm wondering if that's because we're getting a lot of really good blockbusters released over the past like 2 years, or if there's some kind of demographic shift or what. But
I think it's people are asking for a better class of criminal.
I mean, in the past 2 years, we've gotten some pretty good blockbusters. We got Iron Man, we got The Dark Knight, we got what was good last summer that came out. The Harry Potter movies that have come out over the summers, and they've been quality movies. So we've seen a lot of movies come out where they haven't necessarily taken those big dips because they've been quality projects.
And the Hangover wasn't expected to be a blockbuster, but it turned into one.
And The Proposal as well. So we've seen some films with some legs. Look at something like The Blind Side, which opened with like $20 million and ended up grossing like $250 million. I mean, that's ridiculous.
Right.
That's almost unheard of in Hollywood. I mean, that's a phenomenon you see like once every 5 years, and we've basically seen it like five times in 2009. It's alone.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Well, that's what happens when you give Sandra Bullock her due.
That's true. Sandra Bullock had a pretty good 2009, all things considering.
Oh, yeah.
Let's start with number 10 on this list. We've got this list here from beyondhollywood.com. This list was forwarded to me by a friend who, because I had kind of been wondering, what's coming out this summer? Because the hype just hasn't been, the hype hasn't hit me yet. It hasn't come yet. I was still kind of focused on some of the Oscar contenders. Hadn't really started thinking about the big summer blockbusters. Didn't really pay attention to any of the commercials during the Super Bowl. So, I
don't even watch commercials anymore. I tape everything and skip right through them.
Outside of Iron Man 2, I kind of didn't know what was coming out this summer. So, Bill, you got this list in front of you?
Yeah.
All right, so let's go ahead and start with number 10, which is the Twilight Saga Eclipse, the third film in the Twilight franchise. Your thoughts, Bill?
And that concludes my thoughts.
I will say this. They got the director of 30 Days of Night, whose name is David Slade, to direct this movie. Does that increase your interest in this film at all?
Nope. I'm sorry. If they still have Kristen Bell as the main character, I'm not interested.
I like her in other movies, and I don't like her in Twilight. She's not right for the Bella part.
She's awful.
She always looks angry. She's always got a scowl on her face.
She looks good for the part. She's pretty. The guys are pretty too. They're fantastic.
Right.
Their acting could be a little bit better, but Twilight blows.
I will defend Taylor Lautner. I thought that he actually had a pretty good performance in the second film. I did see the second movie. I have seen both the movies. I should say that. I have not read the books. You won't ever get me to read the books. I just won't do it. And I'm not a snob or anything. I have no interest in reading like
not enough of a teen girl.
I have no interest in reading like four or five or however many there are 600 page books. I don't have the time. I barely have enough time to read the books that I want to read. So you're not gonna get me.
What was your major in college?
My major was English.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And I'm in grad school now, and with a different major, but I majored
don't
in
want
English.
To read 600 page books.
I've read my fair share of 600 page behemoths. You know, I made it through James Joyce's Ulysses, so I can make it through anything.
Ooh. Ooh.
Yeah, I don't have much interest in this film either. The only way I would possibly see Twilight Eclipse would be the same way I saw the second one, which would be I would go with my girlfriend or on a date or something like that. I took Marla to see the new moon, and she likes it. She thinks it's sweet. It's romantic. I didn't hate it as much as I thought that I was going to. I actually walked away with it feeling like that wasn't too bad. It wasn't as painful as the first movie. It seems like they increased some of the stuff from the first movie. It was watchable. I will say that.
Well, it's your standard romantic comedy
with vampires thrown in.
Nothing special. Yeah, vampires are funny.
It's just it's fucking ridiculous that the vampires sparkle in the sun. That's stupid. That's just stupid. And I'm not necessarily a Twilight hater. I'm not going to sit here and bash it. I don't have any kind of like hatred for Stephenie Meyer or anything like that. It doesn't appeal to me. It's not for me.
It did appeal to me until I saw it a second time.
The first movie?
Yeah, the first one.
Yeah.
And it was sparkly, it was pretty, it was cute, and then I saw it the second time, and all I saw was, wow, this sucks, can I just stop watching this?
Dude, I went into the first movie saying to myself, alright, I'm going to watch this with an open mind, because I had managed to escape most of the Twilight phenomena somehow, I guess just because I'm not a preteen girl. Actually, I have a pretty good story about the Twilight.
I didn't even know it was out until my friend came in from, Pennsylvania. And she said, "Oh my God, you got to see Twilight." I said, "Oh my God, why?"
I rented it from the Redbox like around a year ago, like when it was really first released on the video. And yeah, again, I watched it with an open mind. I didn't really like it. I kind of liked the first like 45 minutes of it with like Bella moving into the new school and getting to know Robert Pattinson or Edward Cullen, whatever you want to call him. And then it took so long for there to be like any sense of danger. It took so long for like the antagonist to threaten Bella and threaten Edward. It moved just a little too slowly for me, and it was kind of long. The second one was even a little bit longer, but there was just more going on in the second film that caught my interest. I will say that the soundtracks to both of the movies have been fantastic.
I can't really argue. They're a little too Evanescence-y for me.
So no interest for Eclipse from you, Bill?
No.
The only interest I have in Eclipse is a very, very passing interest. I'm somewhat eager to see how it does at the box office because it's being released so closely after New Moon. I'm wondering if it will be a mega hit like New Moon or if the Twilight exhaustion has set in yet.
Well, it certainly didn't happen with Matrix.
Well, it kind of happened from the second Matrix movie to the third one.
Without a doubt, yeah.
Yeah.
I'm trying to use satire.
Oh, okay. My bad. I did not pick up on that. I apologize. My apologies all around. Here's my Twilight story. In August of 2008, when the last book was released, and this was before the first movie had even come out, I didn't even know what Twilight was. I had no concept of what this was. And my friend Deanna, she sends me a text message saying, "Hey, we're all going to this book release thing. Do you want to come with us?" And it was like a midnight release. And I was like, yeah, sure, what the hell? It was a summer night, and I had nothing better to do. So I drove up to her place, and we hung out for a while. And I should mention that Deanna is a few years younger than me. I'm 27, and she's like 20. So her and all of her friends, were like super psyched for this, and they were, you know, dressed up in their vampire costumes and they had their fangs on, and I was
Oh,
just
so
kind
more
of
like 20-teen.
well, at the time she would have been 18 or 19, because this was August of 08, and I would have been like 24, 25. So I was just like, what is going on with this Twilight? What is this? Because there were like three or four girls there and they were all dressed up. And I wasn't expecting this. We went to the Borders or the Barnes and Noble or whatever it was for the release. There must have been 500 teenage girls all dressed up in costumes with like gothic dresses on and black eyeliner on and fake fangs on. And I was unprepared for just the massive cult that Twilight had. It was kind of scary.
Yeah, it came from nowhere.
And when was the first book released? Like 2005?
I don't know.
So it really sprang up overnight. We've talked about it for too long. Let's talk about
Yes, we have.
let's talk about Jonah Hex, which is a film based on a comic book character starring Josh Brolin, who's had somewhat of a career renaissance over the past few years, and Megan Fox, and also John Malkovich is in it. And anything with John Malkovich, I will see. I like him.
I like him too.
Your thoughts on Jonah Hex?
It's a comic book movie
Right.
with Josh Brolin, who I really like,
Right.
and Megan Fox, who I really don't like.
Any idea who's directing this one? Because I honestly don't know. I'm gonna have to look it up.
Not a clue.
I think that it's the guy that directed Wanted, but I'm probably wrong about that.
But it's supposed to be a Wild West comic book.
Right.
I like New Wild West. I don't like Old Wild West because new makes more sense to me.
Let me
And
see.
I like comic book movies, so I think I'm going to enjoy it.
I was way off on that. He directed Horton Hears a Who and Robots, and he was formerly a Pixar animator. That's really weird that he would go from those computer animated family movies to Jonah Hex.
Well, okay.
I don't know if that makes me look forward to it more or less.
I'm interested. Was Robots Pixar?
I'm
I thought it
sorry?
was DreamWorks.
No, he was a former Pixar animator. He left Pixar to direct Robots, it looks like.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Ro Robots
Well,
was released by 20th Century Fox. You're absolutely right.
regardless, the both Robots and Horton were good movies,
I never
and
saw Horton.
while this is a completely different genre, I imagine good director is good director.
I have followed this a little bit because it is a DC comic. I'm a DC guy. I don't really like Marvel very much. So I followed it a little bit. It is being released by the same studio that did the new Batman movies with Christian Bale. I kind of have faith in this movie. I think this is going to be cool.
Well, I really like Josh Brolin. He's done everything really well.
In the past 3 years, he has had this career renaissance. You know, Academy Award nominations, leading turns. He's become like a bankable star in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
And
Even in this little preview, it says he's either a very good actor, period, or he's a good actor who is also a movie star.
right. I don't really care for Megan Fox either. She's very manufactured. You know, she looks like she's been put together from the pieces of other pretty people.
All a weird science.
Yeah, I do like John Malkovich though. John Malkovich and Josh Brolin together outweigh Megan Fox. So I'm.
John Malkovich has fallen apart for me. I used to love him. I would watch and follow everything he used to do, but now he's just kind of the same thing every time.
Did you see Burn After Reading?
Yes, I did.
I thought that he was great in that.
That was a great movie all around.
It was a very good movie.
And it asked each and every one of those actors to do something that they haven't done
Right.
before.
Oh, Brad Pitt, the Academy Award snubbed him. He should have been nominated. He was fantastic in that movie. You
They
think
don't like comedies.
I'm joking, but I'm not. He was fantastic in that movie.
Yes, he was.
And you're right. The Academy doesn't like comedies. Fuck them.
Can't believe they killed him.
We should do a podcast on that movie.
Sure.
That movie is good. I like that a
Not very
lot.
much, though.
Lesser known Coen Brothers podcast. The next movie on the list is the one that I am looking forward to the most because it happens to star my favorite actor, and that is Ridley Scott's Robin Hood, starring Russell Crowe. This is Ridley Scott and Russell Crowe together again. I think this is their third or fourth film they've done together, and they could do 50 of them. I'd watch them all, and I'd be happy with all of them because I'm a huge Russell Crowe fan. The Robin Hood mythos, maybe a little overdone in pop culture, but
Yeah.
I'm willing to give Ridley Scott a chance. You know, maybe this is a reimagining. Maybe this will be like the Batman Begins of Robin Hood. I'd be okay with that.
Or it'll be like the reimagining of King Arthur.
Yeah, that movie has been completely erased from my mind. And you know, I like Ray Winstone and I like Clive Owen, but that was a terrible movie.
I can't say I like Russell Crowe. I liked him, but now he's much bigger than he's a much bigger name than he is as an actor.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. I'll give you that. He has not really had a hit movie in like 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
It's been a while.
Everyone else is fantastic. Cate Blanchett, Mark Strong, who I've come to like more and more and more as he's in stuff.
Oh, Mark Strong is fantastic. Fantastic actor.
He's gonna be the sheriff of Nottingham, I'm sure,
Yeah.
because that's just his look, and everybody puts him in that kind of role.
Now, William Hurt. I always get him confused with John Hurt. Which one is William and which one is John?
I don't know.
William, I think William is the bald one and John is the British one.
Well, William Hurt is the bald one.
All right. From like, isn't he in like The Big Chill? And
Yeah, I think so.
I'm gonna have to look him up because I'm curious now. Yeah, he's from Into the Wild. He played Emile Hirsch's dad, Into the Wild. And then John Hurt is the British guy. He is not in this film. He is not in this film. He's from the Hellboy movie franchise.
I am a little bit worried that there's like no British talent in Robin Hood.
You're right. We got a lot of Australians. William Hurt is American, I think. What about Mark Strong?
I think he's American.
Really? Oh, I thought he was British. I'm gonna have to look it up. He was born in London. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
He's actually Italian. His name is Marco Salusolia or something like that. But
Sure. I'll buy it.
he's good though. He's fantastic.
Yes, he is.
He was in one of my favorite science fiction films, Sunshine. He was the villain. Great.
A lot of people talked about that as a great movie, and I still haven't gone out to see it.
Oh, you got to see it, and if you've got a Blu-ray, I mean, this Blu-ray was made for movies like that.
Blu-ray.
Yeah, it
I
was.
watch it on the computer.
Any idea, like any anticipation at all for Ridley Scott's return to epic filmmaking? I know I'm psyched about it personally.
I'm gonna watch it. I'll probably even like it. I'm not expecting anything surprising.
It's been 5 or 6 years since Ridley Scott has made kind of a big action spectacle, so I'm pretty psyched about it. Now, the last time that
What was this last one?
the last one he made was Kingdom of Heaven, which was a huge bomb, but which I contend was the studio's that was the studio's fault. They tinkered with the film too much. They wouldn't let him do what he wanted to do, and the director's cut of that movie is amazing,
Okay.
amazing. So I will defend it. Yeah, it stars Orlando Bloom. Yeah, he's not great. In fact, he's kind of terrible. But I mean, look at it this way: it's got Jeremy Irons. It's got the girl from Casino Royale,
Jeremy Irons means nothing to me.
Ava Green. Jeremy Irons means nothing to you?
He used to be good, and he peaked around 1994. And then he had Dungeons and Dragons, and then he had Aragon.
So what you're saying is that he peaked around Die Hard with a Vengeance.
I'm Lion King.
Lion King. Oh, you're not even gonna give him Die Hard 3? Come on.
Didn't see Die Hard 3.
Oh, you're missing a good movie. All right,
I'm sorry.
next movie on the list. I have n zero interest in whatsoever. The A Nightmare on Elm Street remake to be released April 30th. We're not doing these films at any kind of release date order, by the way. No interest whatsoever. No interest. Jackie
That's
Earle
gonna
Haley, I mean, that guy sure knows how to play against type. And that was a joke, in case you were wondering. He plays a creep in every movie, and this is no different. Why are they doing this to us? Why are they remaking this movie?
You know how some people like scary movies? And you know how some people will actually support Nightmare on Elm Street to 14 sequels? Or is even more than that? those are the people who are going to watch that. I'm not one of them.
Here,
Persia, hang the on, Sands of Time.
Wait. Let's go back. Let's go back to Nightmare on Elm Street for just a minute. Let's give it a minute.
Ugh.
If it is rated R,
it can't not be rated R.
No, listen to me. Hear me out. If it is rated R, I will rent or download it when it becomes available commercially. If it's PG-13, it might be PG-13. It might be. If it's PG-13, I will never watch it, ever. There is no point in watching a PG-13 horror movie. Nothing that is PG-13 can possibly be scary.
Oh, that's a famous last word.
Nothing.
Okay.
But you're right, there are movies that were released in like the 50s and the 60s, which occasionally featured Vincent Price, that were pretty creepy and scary, but nowadays, movies that are released...
Did you see Mommy Dearest?
I've seen Mommy Dearest. That's a horrible movie. No,
just had to mention it.
Why a hangus. All right.
That was horrible.
Prince of Persia, Sands of Time.
Yeah, so Jake Gyllenhaal is the leading man.
Do you like Jake Gyllenhaal?
I do.
I like him, too. So I'm glad that you like him. I feel like he gets put upon because he's a handsome guy.
Yeah, he's a pretty face, and he's done a lot of lightweight roles until Brokeback Mountain, and then he kind of disappeared.
Do you know what this movie reminds me of?
Take a wild
guess. Prince of Persia: The Sands of Time as a movie reminds Zach of what other?
Indiana Jones.
Kind of, but that's not where I was going. Think action adventures in the same vein, but newer.
Indiana Jones 2?
No. Different movie franchise. And newer.
Sorry.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Oh, why?
It reminds me, because we've got an actor who's playing the lead who's not necessarily known for roles like this. You've got a movie that's based off of a popular something else that's not a... It's not a traditionally where movies come from. It's a special effects extravaganza. You know, it's got romance. It's action, comedy, fantastical elements. Basically, all those things thrown into one. And that is probably why I will see it, because I honestly believe, I can tell you now with a straight face, that the first Pirates of the Caribbean movie is one of the best action movies of the last 10 years. Now, the two sequels were both kind of terrible, but the first one remains good.
I like the sequels.
Part two, okay.
I can see that they're not nearly as good as the first one.
Right. That's why I will see Prince of Persia: Sands of Time. I'm actually kind of looking forward to it.
I'm very excited for it.
Do you know who's directing this one? Because I don't know off the top of my head.
Some guy.
I'm gonna look it up. Mike Newell. He was. I think he directed one of the Harry Potter movies.
Cool.
I'm pretty sure that he did. Yeah, Goblet of Fire, one of my favorite Harry Potter movies.
That's probably my favorite one.
That's encouraging. Yeah, I'm actually looking forward to this. I will say that who released the games? Ubisoft?
She got me.
I'm pretty sure that it was Ubisoft. Yeah.
Yeah, that sounds right.
They really fucked up by releasing like three or four games like right in a row. They really killed the franchise. That way, I hate it when video game companies do that.
Well, they had one really great game that reinvigorated the franchise that didn't even exist.
Right around 2003, yeah.
Yeah, and it was hugely popular, and like any good company, they just throw more and more down the chute until people get tired of it, and then they're coming out with another Prince of Persia to match the movie coming out, and that's supposed to be much better too.
Can I just say, just briefly here, that how can the market sustain itself on nothing but Guitar Hero and Rock Band games over and over and over again? Are people...
It's not nothing, but...
Are people really buying the newest one, like, every 6 months?
Yes.
Why?
Because they just spent the last 6 months playing the crap out of the one that they have, and they're bored of it.
I will never understand people.
They're not bored of the rhythm game. They're just bored of the song selection in that one.
All right, next on the list is the A-Team. I'm mildly interested in the A-Team. It's got Charlton Copley in it, who was breakout star of District 9. It's got Liam Neeson, one of my favorite actors, and it's got Bradley Cooper in it.
It has Liam Neeson?
Yeah, Liam Neeson. Yeah, he's playing Hannibal. Yep.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Cool.
And it's got Bradley Cooper in it, who was fantastic in The Hangover. So we've got lot of... the only guy I have no idea who he is this Quentin Rampage Jackson. He's playing the Mr. T role. I don't think he's been in a movie before. I think he's like a mixed martial artist or something.
He just looks like Mr. T.
Yeah. Joe Carnahan is directing this, and that's good and bad. He directed Smoke and Aces.
You know, the fact that they pick a nobody as the Mr. T role, I didn't even know what his name was. It was Mr. T, wasn't it? Just because he looks like Mr. T, and they pick these roles just because they look so close to the original actors, I think that's a bad sign.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm fully prepared to walk into this movie and have it be absolutely awful, but at the same token, I'm sure that I'm going to get the same enjoyment out of it that I did out of watching like Taken, or I know it's going to be like a really dumb, stupid movie, but I'm hoping that there's not going to be like a whole bunch of crappy CGI and. I'm basically hoping for
but
what
there
I...
is. I'm sure there is.
Yeah, you're right. It's going to be terrible.
It's going to be awful. It would be worse if they made a MacGyver movie. What's the point?
All right, you ready to move on then? All right. So that was part one of the summer movie preview that Bill and I have recorded. I have split this up into two parts because it runs almost an hour long. And I didn't think anybody out there would have the patience for an hour of a couple of knuckleheads like us blathering away about things that don't really matter. But that's all right. Next week you'll get part two. Please feel free to check out the website at http://cultedorcanit.blogspot.com. Feel free to leave us some feedback. Feel free to comment to me whether you like it, whether you hate it, what you would like to see fixed, what you would like to see different. And if you got a movie out there that you'd like to suggest to us, I'm always open to suggestions. And if you'd like to be a co-host for the program, please just get in contact with me via the site, and we can set something up because I'm always looking for co-hosts. So for part one of the 2010 movie preview, thanks for tuning in.